than those without the device, and so wait for them.
Amen.
I hear pages turning. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, are you there?
Amen.
Amen. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. And I want to draw from that. In the way, on the way, please get out of the way. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You recognize as well as I do that the Lord has a specific task for all of us. But ultimately, we all are missionary workers for him.
Yes.
Amen. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we are ambassadors for Christ. And we need be about our Father's business. It is our job to share Christ wherever we go. If the world is to be made better, it's because men and women, boys and girls will hear the life-giving, the life-saving message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The unfortunate is that there are those sometimes who will get in the way and will not allow that message to go forth. And very often it's not because they plan to do it, but in dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees, and if you will read this, you'll note that it is written to the scribes and the Pharisees. Amen. These are the people whose job it was. Amen. The scribes were to make the word of God made known to the people. And the Pharisees were the strictest of the sects. And so it was important that those who were kingdom dwellers be willing and able to share the kingdom with those that they came into contact with. Well, I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that has not changed. But the unfortunate is there are many who will allow rituals and forms and formalities to become the norm rather than allowing the ritual to be that leads us into what God wants us to do. Amen, amen. You see, I have no problem with rituals. Amen. I have no problem with order because it sets in order the things that we want to do. But when the order becomes the most important thing, amen, when it's not about Jesus, we reversed the procedure. Amen. And when we understand that in all things that Christ might have the preeminence, then we're on point. Hallelujah. But the problem is, too oft times, we get so good at doing what we do that what we do becomes the focal point, and we want everybody to see what we do rather than to see Christ. Have I got a witness? But when we know that Christ is the focal point of all that we do, when we come into his house, we come intending to meet him. Amen. I don't care how good these brothers sing, and boy, they did sing today, did they not? Amen. But it's not about just singing. Amen. Singing prepares or ushers us into the presence of the Lord. But we need to have a word from the Lord. There has to be, what does the Lord have to say? When we understand that the Lord always has a word for us, amen, we can carry out what he has ordained for us. But you know, even when we've been studying in our Sunday school lessons, that what God had called Israel to do, Israel was to be God's instrumentality that would point out God to those that didn't know him. Amen. He chose them with that specific purpose. Amen. In Matthew 28:19-20, we have been appointed to be witnesses. So we've got the same task. But when we get off point and we get so concerned about the rituals of what we do to make sure we dot all the I's and cross all the T's, and we leave out the space for the Holy Spirit. It becomes a problem when we're so busy at being church members that we fail to be church members. For when we are church members, we are members of the body of Christ. Oh, I wish I had somebody could hear me today. It's all about Him. When you look at who you are as a member of the body of Christ, we all not have the same office, but we all are important in the work of the ministry. And God has a way, amen, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 18, He says, God places in the church, amen, those whom He has a place for. He knows where you ought to be, and He knows how you can serve best. Have I got a witness? And when I understand that God puts us where He wants us to be, then we can do what God would have us to do. But in reading the text, this scathing condemnation against the Pharisees by the Lord Jesus speaks to two glaring inequities that exist in the kingdom. Number one, there are the obstructionists. The obstructionists, those are the ones that just get in the way. And number two, the hypocrite. Hypocrisy becomes an obstruction because folk can't get by us who in the way. Amen. These inequities were present during the ministry of Jesus and are unfortunately still with us in the church of the living God. There are those who are in the way, obstructionists to kingdom expansion. You will take note that Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders, the teachers of the religious law, the scribes and the Pharisees, who were the most strict of the religious sects. While the Pharisees did a good work, and I want to be sure we understand that, because there are those who will get defensive when you talk about being in the way, on the way, and they believe you're talking to me. Well, now, if I'm talking to you, if you're that, now, if you're not that, I ain't talking to you. Yeah, if you're not that, then don't worry. That ain't you. Excuse my grammar. But I want to make sure we understand what we're saying. For you see, sometimes we paint everybody with the same brush. And that's not the case. Yeah. Amen. Just like preachers get painted with the same brush. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're all chicken eating, women running. Now, you know, we're not that. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 The Pharisees did a good work. Amen. They put order in. They established ritualistic practices. But part of the problem was when the work produced a legalistic spirit, then it becomes a problem to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where if you don't do it this way, then you're not doing it right. Amen. I tell you all the time, I always get on Sister Jones because she get toothpaste from the top of the tube. And I get my toothpaste from the bottom of the tube. But the bottom line, it's all toothpaste. Amen. Have I got a witness in here? Amen. 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 You know, we want folk to act just like we act. Well, not everybody does the same thing. Amen. Amen. If you don't wave your hands like I wave them. See, some folk wave their hands this way. And some folk wave their hands this way. Amen. No matter, as long as you're waving your hands. Amen. 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 Some folk like to say hallelujah. And then there are those of us like to say amen and hallelujah. It doesn't matter as long. Amen. Don't think because I didn't do it like you do it. Amen. Amen. You see, the Pharisees were always on Jesus' case. Amen. They were going through the cornfield and a grain field, and the disciples were hungry. And so what do hungry people do? They eat. And so they grabbed some grains and they brushed off the husks and they were eating. And the Pharisees are just watching. Jesus, look at your disciples. They're working on the Sabbath day. No, they were eating. Amen. And when we understand that because we don't do it like you do it, amen, it's all right. It's all right to be different. Amen. 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 But it is to this narrow, exclusive element in the Pharisees that Jesus speaks so strongly in the Gospels. You'll notice in the first thing, he talks about they shut up the kingdom. They are an obstructionist. You can't get by them. And the reason, listen to what he says, Luke 11 and 52. He says, you hide the key to knowledge from the people. You get so caught up in your isms. Amen. And the isms are not what God is looking for. Amen. Amen. Jesus says, which man of you, if you have an animal in the bog and it's on the Sabbath day, you're going to get it out. But you see, you want to tell folks, no, you can't do that because this is the Sabbath day. Amen. If I'm on my way to church and I see somebody with a flat, amen, it's all right to stop and help them. I might miss getting here for Sunday school, but it's all right because I'm doing a good work. Our problem is, amen, I got to be there because they need me. Well, let me tell you something, folks. And this is directed to the folk who believe that you absolutely are essential. Get you a bucket of water. And then put your hand down in the water. And pull it out. The hole that's left in that water is how important you are. Somebody gonna get that. Amen. Amen. In fact, let's just read this from Luke 11. Amen. You that got those, your little machines, you can find it really fast. 11 and verse. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. Those scribes were to explain the law to the people. But when you fail to explain it clearly, where people understand not only the letter, but the spirit and intent of it, then you have done them a disservice. Amen. When we fail to tell you what God says about whatever it is, amen, you miss something. Amen. Amen. You see, there are those that like to argue, well, the Bible said, thou shalt not kill. Well, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But if you look at the context of it, it really says, thou shalt not murder. Because God had a lot of folk killed. In fact, in our Sunday school lesson, he tells them, you better be careful, because if you go up and touch the mountain, you are dead, buddy. Yeah. Amen. So we need to understand what God is saying. And it is the job of the preacher to make sure that the word of God goes forth not only with power, but with clarity. That when you walk out of this room, you understand what God has said. Now, let me encapsulate so you'll know exactly what God says. God says none but the righteous. God says none but the pure in heart. Come on, fill in the blank. Shall see God. What I'm trying to get you to see is it's a heart issue. It's not so much about the ritualistic practices, but is your heart right? Amen. If you say, I love the Lord, he heard my cry, he pitied every groan, you ought to show that you love him by how you treat your brothers and sisters. You can't love God sincerely and have an issue continuously with your brothers and sisters. Your love for him will make you for. See, love hides a multitude of faults. Amen. A lot of folk ain't right. In fact, Pastor Blake said, maybe you ain't either. But that's really not the issue. Amen. You understand that love, as demonstrated by Christ, for the Bible said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. When I understand that I was not even getting better when Christ died for me. Amen. He saved me on credit. I wish I had somebody that could see that. Amen. He knew, though, that when there is the infusion of the Holy Spirit, when we start walking with him, amen, we start acting better. Amen. Amen. That's why he told him to go back to Jerusalem and tarry there till you be endued with power. Amen. When the power of the Holy Ghost come, we can do what God wants us to do. Amen. So we understand that serving the Lord is not simply a system of do's and don'ts, cans and can'ts. Amen. It becomes a matter of Luke 12 and verse number 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. When we start confessing that Christ, amen, is the Son of the living God, and he lives in me. Amen. He lives in me. The old folks said, he woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. Amen. He put a new song in my mouth. When he's real to you, amen, then you can tell somebody, I know God is real. Yes, he's real. Amen. It's not that I wave my hands, but when he gets real in there, amen, it becomes, as the prophet said, it's like fire shut up in your bones. Amen. Whosoever confess me, Jesus says, before men. And so it begins with, amen, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. It is with the mouth that confession is made. But after that confession, it becomes a matter of living what you confess. Have I got a witness? Amen. But Jesus says, if you have got your Bibles open there in Matthew 23, in verse number 4, Jesus had an issue with the Pharisees, amen, simply because they were in the way and wouldn't get out of the way. Amen. So we are beseeching you, if you're in the way, on the way, please get out of the way. Look at the obstructionist that we find in Matthew 23 in verse number 4. Talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. Amen. What they do, the New Living Translation said, they crush you with impossible religious demands. Amen. You got to do this. You got to do that to be saved. You know what you have to do to be saved? Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that the Lord is the Savior of the world, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Amen. You see, that was part of the problem with Israel. Amen. In the New Testament church, they said that those that were proselytes, those that had come by conversion, they said that they had to be circumcised, have to keep the law of Moses. In other words, they would have to become Jews to become Christians. And you still got folk who said, you got to become one of us. Well, if the one of us is a Christian, you're in good shape. But it's not about becoming who you are. Well, let's let Jesus tell you about that. Look what he says. He says, And in verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compare sea and land to make one proselyte. Now that's a convert. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Instead of making them followers of Christ, you're making them followers of you. Can I tell you something? The Lord never called any of us to have anybody to follow us. It's all about Him. Amen. When you understand that it is all about Him, then you're not going to put impossible religious demands on people, but rather you know that the God that saved you, if He saved you, He can save anybody. That's what I tell folk all the time. Lord, if you saved me, amen. And it is not with specificity that we say me, but if you saved me, then He certainly can save you. Amen. 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 So let's look at. Not only do we look at those who are obstructionists by just simply being in the way, but there are hypocrites who, by their hypocrisy, will find themselves in the way. Verse 14 talks about one. He talks about people with no integrity. And you know, integrity ought to be the hallmark of those who profess to be Christians. Your word ought to be your bond. People ought to look at you and believe that if you said it, you'll do all that you can do to ensure that it is done. But he says that they are the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You devour the widows' houses, and then for a pretense, you come to the house of the Lord and make a long prayer. Therefore, he says, you shall receive the greater damnation. Now, let me give you a modern update of that. Because we don't have now, you know, doing all of this. But what we have now is that I never see you in prayer meeting. Don't see you in teacher's meeting. Just see you in Sunday school. But at every big day, you know, we big day folk. Amen. I got to be the one that you need somebody to do. So I'll do that on the big day. Do it on Wednesday night at Brotherhood. Amen. Do it on Thursday night at prayer and teachers meeting. Do it on Friday night at Bible study. Amen. Show how much you love the Lord in a small setting. We love the Lord when there's a whole crowd there, when they can say, amen. You know, that old boy sure got it. Every time I go to church, he's just busy as can be. Amen. That's the only time you're going to see him. Moving right along. I want you to understand when we talked about in verse 15, Jesus is not criticizing evangelism. No, he's criticizing the result of what these folk did. Rather than bring folk into the kingdom to be saved, they made them many them. And unfortunately, they were not on their way to heaven. Amen. Because those folk were on their way to hell. And I don't know. I don't want to follow anybody on their way to hell. Amen. I can go to hell by myself. That's why I'm careful about how I preach. Because I know that if you're listening to me, that I've got to be careful what I tell you. Because our souls hang in the balance. Yes. Tell folk all the time, when I was a postmaster, if somebody had misdelivered a letter, and I think, Mr. Postmaster, you can attest to that, if they misdelivered a letter, you can pick it up and deliver it the next day. That's called redelivering it. But if a soul goes to hell, you can't go to hell and pluck them out and bring them back to the kingdom. Amen. It's too late. We need to understand the seriousness of what we do. Amen. Souls hang in the balance. And then we look at in two verses here, verse 23 and verse 5. Verse 5 talks about looking religious. Looking religious. And there's a problem in looking religious. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. Now watch this. They make broad their phylacteries. A phylactery was a little box that had little cubicles that in it they had the Ten Commandments. Amen. And it was one where you could either wear it on your forehead or on your arm. Where those who wanted to look really super religious, they made them a big one where you couldn't miss it. And some folk have that same phylactery. Amen. It's not on their arm and it's not on their forehead, but sometimes it's in their speech. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah.
You enjoying yourself today?
Yes.
Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life. Now that sounds good, doesn't it?
Yes.
Is he really the head of your life? Is he leading you every day? Are you doing what he has commanded you to do? Only those who are doing all that God has commanded you to do can get up and say, who's the head of my life? Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? That can't be but one head. Amen. Anything that has two heads is unnatural. And for many folk, you want to be the head. Look what he says. They make broad the phylactery and enlarge the borders of their garments. They just want to dress holy, as if dress makes a difference. Amen. I think you ought to be decent. But I also know it's not how you look on the outside. It's how you look on the inside. And if the inside is right, it'll make the outside right. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. It becomes a matter of dressing that inner man with righteousness. When you put on a robe of righteousness on the inside, it will then seep out to the outside. Amen. You know, one of our problems is we tell folk, come as you are. And then, and so some folk come from where they've been. And then you know what we do? We criticize them. Now, you know that she could dress better than that.
Yes.
Look at that. Well, can I offer a suggestion to you? The next time somebody is not dressed the way you think they ought to dress, you go buy them what you think they ought to wear. Hallelujah. Yeah, and when then you tell them, how come you doing this? Mm-hmm. And then in verse 23, there is those who, you know, we talked about look religious, but then there are those who want to act religious. They want to observe the minutiae of the law. Look at verse 23. They pay tithe on every little thing that goes through their hands, which is good. But the problem is, they have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Listen what Jesus said. These ought ye to have done and to not leave the other undone. Now it is interesting because when I read this, it tells me Jesus was the Word. Amen. He was the living Word. For what he says here is found in Micah 6 and 8. What doeth the law require of thee? What does it require? Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. Even if you can do that, you're super Christian. Hallelujah. Amen. You might not dress like somebody think you ought to dress, but if you can just do justly. And doing justly, just being fair. Do what's right. Amen. Just do what's right. Now, can I tell you, right is not what you say is right. Right is not what I say is right. Right is what God says is right. When I do what God says, I'm in good stead. Do justly. Love mercy. Amen. And then walk humbly. In other words, walk by faith. And can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? We who are in the family of God, we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. We might not see it all as yet, but we know that God will cause it to come to pass. Hallelujah. Another problem that we have, amen, is found in verse 27. Talk about an obstructionist. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward. Mm-hmm. You can read the rest. You see, the whited sepulchres, they would paint them to be sure that they were discernible. For if you even walked on a sepulchre, a grave, then you were ceremonially unclean. And so they painted them nice and white so you would know that that was a grave and you wouldn't walk on it. Well, they looked beautiful from the outside, but what's inside? Yeah. Look good from the outside. You got a lot of folk who look good from the outside, but it's what's inside that really counts. And I'm almost done. And then when we talk about, again, an obstructionist, one of the biggest obstructionists in the church is Mr. Big Stuff. Let me give you an example of Mr. Big Stuff.
Yes, sir.
He's found in Luke 18. Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men. They are extortioners. They are unjust. They are adulterers. Or even like this, then point him out, like this publican. I'm not like that. But now let me tell you how I am. I fast twice. For you who are looking for this, Luke 18, 11 and 12. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, Jesus used this illustration to ensure that those who trust in themselves realize it ain't about you at all, Mr. Big Stuff. Amen. When you understand it's all about Him, and when you've got a heart for God, you have a heart for those that you see need Him. Amen. Instead of this man telling the publican about the Lord, he's criticizing him. I'm so much better than he is.
Yes.
And how are you going to get sinners out of the world when you consider yourself so much better than they are? Amen. We are sinners that have been saved by grace. Have nothing to brag about. If it had not been for the Lord, maybe that's not you. Well, let me see if we can find your Mr. Big Stuff. Romans 12 and verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, Paul is speaking, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Amen. You need to think soberly, knowing, amen, You really are not all of that in a bag of chips. Amen. All of us have flaws. But I'm glad that God uses folk with flaws. Have I got a witness? Amen. When it became a God needed a man that he would be able to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let his people go, he found a man that had flaws. He couldn't speak properly. Amen. He found him back on the backside of the desert. But God knows where you are. God knows how to find you, and God knows how to use you in His service. Amen. When He commanded Moses to go down to Egypt land and tell Pharaoh to let his people go, Moses said, Lord, I can't speak plain. I've got a speech impediment. But God had to remind him, who made your mouth? Amen. If I made it, ain't nothing wrong with what I made. Amen. I can use everything I made. And I'm glad that God was able to look down into Fifth Ward and find one that was not worthy, but yet the goodness of the Lord, amen, positioned me to tell you, if you're in the way, and on the way, and all of us are on our way to home. Have I got a witness here? Heaven is our home, and we're on our way. But if you're in the way, somebody can't get there because you're in the way. Please get out of the way that all of us can get to heaven. Amen. God is not looking for just all of the big upstanding folk. God is looking for the down and out, the dope pusher, the prostitute. God said, I'm looking for them as well. And I want you to be able to tell them that I love them with an unconditional love. I want you to tell them I love them so much that I won't leave them like I find them. Can I go ahead and preach? When I understand that it is the goodness of the Lord that leads man to repentance, I'm able to tell you, if you're in the way, while you're on the way, please get out of the way. Somebody's on their way to heaven and they need to know about the resurrected Christ. And that's why we came by to tell you today. Amen. There is a word from the Lord. Have I got a word for you? Yes, I do. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God knew that we were not able to do it by ourselves. And so he took the initiative. What did he do? I'm glad you asked. He created for his son a body, and his son stepped through 42 generations, born of a virgin, and wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. But that's not all that he did. Well, Brother Peter said he went about doing good, gave sight to the blind, cut away stammering tongues, opened up deaf ears. But that's not the greatest thing he did. For the Bible said it was on a Friday. Looking at you and looking at me, saw I need that we were estranged from him. And the only way we could be reconciled to him was by the shedding of blood. Can I go ahead and preach? For the Bible said without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. And so he required his blood. Amen. The blood of pigeons and doves. Amen. The ashes of the bell peppers would not be able to save us. But it is through the precious blood of Christ. They nailed his hand. Out came blood. They rivet his feet. Out came blood. Have I got a witness here? The Bible said, and then hanging on the cross, one of the soldiers came with a spear and pierced him in the side. Out came blood and water. Amen. Indicated that he had died for us. I'm so glad that he died, but he didn't stay there. Have I got a witness? The Bible said, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. He knows how to take care of
and you need somewhere to go, and just like the Sunday school lesson said, be ready, but before you can be, you need to get ready, and after you get ready, you ought to stay ready. Ah, yes, you ought to be able to say, I'm ready.
Opportunity to get introduced to the man from Galilee. Hallelujah. He is the Son of the Living God. He loves you with an unconditional love. He wants you to be in his family. And if you are a church member and you are in the way, please get out of the way. Don't let folks see you acting in a way that compromises my Savior. Amen. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Get out of the way. God wants you. But for some folk, amen. You know, it's interesting. The Bible said in the year that King Uzziah died, amen, Isaiah said, I also saw the Lord. Could it have been that as long as Uzziah was living, Isaiah's looking at him? Don't look at a man. We've seen some sorry preachers, and you make all the preachers sorry. Don't look at them. I know I heard about him or her, what they did. It doesn't matter what are you going to do? It's all about you. I'm going to ask that we would stand.
And he said that's an undone. But see, there are some folk who have trouble with all that singing and clapping and all that stuff. Well, let me tell you something. You better start practicing. Because when you get to heaven, that's all we're going to do.
Yeah.
If you can't stand it down here,
yeah. All right.
You're going to be miserable.
Amen.
But we who love it,
yeah.
Amen, don't have to worry about getting up going to work. Amen. Every day I get up and truck away. Remember this. No greater love than this.
That's right.
What's the this?
He died for you. And then he got up. But then in John 14, he says something interesting, because he says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you.
All right.
If I go, I'm going to come again.
All right.
And receive you.
Yeah.
Now see, for some folk, that doesn't measure in your thought process. But let me see if I can help you with an usher. See, when ushers, they receive you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then you know what they do? They usher you to your seat.
Yeah.
Well, see, there are those who make you a Christian. There are those who like to say, Brother Peter is at the gate. No, Peter's not there at the gate. Because Jesus said, I am the way,
right. The
truth, and the life.
Yeah.
No one comes to the Father except.
Amen.
And so when we come into his presence, he's going to usher us in. Then he's going to take us to that mansion.
Yes.
That he has prepared for us.
Yeah.
Now, if you can think about it,
yeah.
It does not matter what kind of splendor you live in here. Mm-hmm. It's not to be compared to the majesty of the.
Yeah.
See, I tell folks all the time, I want the King James Version.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't come giving me no room. As some of the new translations said, in my Father's house are many rooms. No, King James said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. He will usher you to your mansion. And your mansion is in the sky. Hallelujah. We shall extend a tribute to the church. If you have not made peace with God,